Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, well, the first thing is like, I'm home. That's probably what it felt like. It felt like to walk off that bus and just be like, I'm home.
Oh, this is your home for Reality Check Radio about the Cats and the Cards and politics and everything else here on the Roundtable. It's ESPN 680 105.7. Happy Friday to everyone. You made it. It's hot outside. It's summer. Hopefully this weekend you have some pool party plans or something that you can do out there in the weather. Keep yourself cool. I'm James Strebel. I got you for the next 3 hours. My good friend Max Godby, he'll be joining us here in about 30 minutes or so. Next segment, he'll be on. We have a jam-packed show for you today. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We're live in the Liquor Barn Studios. We'll have Jonathan Littner check in with us at 345. See what the Lou City and Racing Lou teams have in store for us this weekend as those teams continue to roll along. It's been awesome. Big news in the FIFA world. I'll have Littner discuss that as well. 4:30, John Huang, the good doctor himself, will be calling in from, or we'll call him, he's in Omaha. He's in Omaha right now as a media member going to cover the Cats. It's been a dream of his to go out there, so I want to get the lay of the land and the scene from John Huang. We have some Mark Pope sound as he's making the rounds, discussed a lot of things with Tyler Griever. We'll discuss that as well. Mixtape 5:30, courtesy of Justin Sofro, James Black, as we do our normal Friday. So we'll get you into your weekend with some fun. Again, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to interact with the show that way, we'll be ready to roll. And James, good afternoon. How are you doing? Are you doing good?
I'm James.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you, Stu?
I'm doing fantastic. Interesting folks walking around the studio today.
Bro.
Inside and outside and everywhere between.
I can't wait to text Phil Baker.
It's rare that we come in here and Phil Baker's not around, so I know he got his bare nose today. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, he said he would be in and out today. So
yeah, he's gonna be in and out today. I left some books on Phil's desk, so I'm hoping he gets to read those and see them as well. So a lot to cover, a lot to get to. I got a little info on Spike Sowell, who is not visiting with U of L. There's some tentacles there that I want to get to. He made a statement on Twitter that I found to be fascinating as Louisville fans attacked him for not visiting U of L. You know how fans do. They're attacking. So we'll get to that. And then, obviously, the main story today, 437-9680, is Coleman Hawkins has found a home. Coleman Hawkins, the Illinois big man transfer, has found a home with Jerome Tang And the Kansas State Wildcats as the Tang Gang continues to roll along. And it's just interesting, James, because and audience, and thank you for listening. It's interesting because there's all these tentacles that are surrounding Pat Kelsey. And this is not a knock on Pat Kelsey whatsoever. And none of it really, except for when I get to the actual Coleman Hawkins decision, is about him. Okay, it's one of these things where Jerome Tang's name was thrown around a lot. Again, by Louisville fans, nothing from Josh Hurd. It was one of these things where it was made known that, unlike Josh Schertz and Dusty May, that any overtures or offers had been made to Jerome Tang in regards to taking the Louisville head coaching job. But he was somebody that Louisville fans had on their radar when Kenny Payne was stinking it up in the first season and Jerome Tang beats Kentucky in the round of 32.
I'm a media member.
I think so. Yes. I think someone was wanting that sound. Yes, there it is. Can I hear Jason Anderson saying, "I'm a media member"? That is John Huang right now.
I'm a media member.
You're damn right. Already, James, the texts are already coming in.
Oh, I know.
6'2 offensive line and souls isn't great size at all for SEC or ACC football. We need 6'4 or taller. So there we go. They're all about Isaac Sowles until now. Now he's too short. But if he would have visited, then he would have been here. He would have been the right player for the Brom Bomb squad. There's Jeff Lightsey. Hello, Jeff. How you doing? He's looking good over there. Is he okay? He looks a little rush. Is you all right, James?
Yeah, I think he's going to jump on the drive.
Oh, he's jumping on the drive. There we go. Little Mark Ennis. Now, how the boys fared at Twin Peaks yesterday? Did everything go okay?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Had Coach Kelsey on. Andrew Bosch was shining. It was great.
Oh, fantastic. Andrew Bosch has been shining a lot lately, and I'm liking the shine that Andrew Bosch.
Yes, that's my guy.
Shines like a diamond here. As Orlando Antigua told me once, that I shine like a diamond.
I remember.
I'm saying Andrew Bosch, our sales extraordinaire, is also shining like a diamond. But let's go ahead and jump into the Coleman Hawkins stuff, and then we'll talk about Mark Pope and something that Ben Roberts said on Louis' show that was of some interest to me, and I think will be of some interest to Kentucky fans going down the line. All right, so this is from Shams, all right? Shams, I always butcher his last name. I'm terrible. I know. I'm an uneducated American. Shams Charania stated the following. Actually, he tweeted the following. Sources: Illinois transfer Coleman Hawkins, 6'10" forward, has committed to play for Kansas State in what's believed to be the most lucrative college basketball NIL deal, $2 million negotiated from a collective by Nate Conley of Court. I'm terrible at Court 14. There we go. I'm not too bad at my Roman numerals. And Aaron Turner of Varus Basketball. Okay, so he finds a home, and we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming as far as the money's concerned. If you all recall, when Great Osabor committed to Washington and the news broke that he got an NIL deal of $2 million, Coleman Hawkins immediately retweeted it with laughing emojis and something to the effect of, yeah, we'll see about that. So and everybody was saying the same thing. Coleman Hawkins is going to go for the bag. He's going to go for the bag. It was plain. It was simple. We knew that to be the case. All right. So as the Louisville stuff with Coleman Hawkins started to ramp up, as Pat Kelsey, much like Mark Pope, has one spot available left on the roster, one scholarship available, that this could be not only the final piece of the puzzle for PK and the Cards, but a massive major piece for PK and the Cards. So Coleman Hawkins, as we know, his agent is friends with Anna Tarullo, and she was actually texting her during the show when we were talking about all the Coleman Hawkins stuff and the visit. And it was we were led to believe, and many Louisville fans and Louisville media members were very confident that not only would Coleman Hawkins make the visit, but before he left, he would be a card. And you know, there's no hiding from that. There's no running from that. That was the narrative that was being discussed. Okay. Now, 2 million plus for a player that averaged 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 45% field goals per game last season, which isn't bad. I mean, it's pretty damn good. From the 3-point line, he averaged 36%, and that grew for him almost every single year while he was at Illinois. Regardless of, you look at the stats, you say, oh my gosh, he's not worth that. That's the asking price. He was the best player left in the portal, and it wasn't particularly close. So honestly, Coleman Hawkins played this perfectly. But this is a Jack Grossman take that I'm stealing from him, because we were texting about this earlier, Jackie Boy and I. And the way he played it and laid in the weeds, waited until everything else shuffled around, got laid out. He saw it great. Osabor made. Coleman Hawkins and his agent played the game perfectly. Perfectly. Okay. And this guy's been in college. He's a senior. He's a senior. He's been in college for a long time. All right. He's an experienced player, third team Big Ten or whatever that was. I believe it was third team Big Ten. And whether or not, okay, let me preface that with that phrase, whether or not you believe it or don't believe it, maybe it wasn't such a good idea for Pat Kelsey and company to go all in on the Coleman Hawkins stuff the way they did. All right, and let me explain why that could be the case. I get scolded every time I bring up NIL. I get DMs. I get text messages. Don't talk about the NIL like that. We have all this money. We got boatloads of cash. We've got the war chest and da-da-da-da, this, that, and the other. But now we've had three instances where players were asking for extensive NIL deals. And right or wrong, we're told no. Right? Jaden Quaintance, Great Osabor, and now Coleman Hawkins. So, and look, I'll try to get as much info out of the agent as I can. I don't know how much, how forthcoming he's going to be with the details, okay? I'll see what kind of magic Anna can work here. But this is what I think happened. This is what I think. Again, this is what I think happened. All right. This is not me saying I know for sure, but this is the smell of it. Okay. This is a gut check moment by me. This is what my gut tells me. And it's a substantial gut. This is what my gut says. My gut says this. The preliminary talks with Coleman Hawkins were mutually beneficial. Pat Kelsey wanted another player. He wanted another good player. He wanted another productive player. Somebody that has the talent greater than some of the other pieces on the roster. Now, maybe not Cason Pryor, but I mean, better than Noah Waterman, better than James Scott. If you can, better than Connie Roos as a true freshman 4-star. You catch my drift here, okay? Coleman Hawkins probably, most likely, a step at least above those guys. Add a little bit more to that depth and a starter, either at the 5 or the 4, he's 6'10", for Pat Kelsey and company. Okay? And when those talks continued, and as the date became, you know, came closer for Coleman Hawkins to visit. Remember, he's supposed to come in on a Friday, and all this went down on a Thursday when he was set not to visit all of a sudden. Okay? What I believe happened was, everything was fine. Everything looked good. Come and visit. Let's go. The NIL payment discussion began. It was made known what the asking price for Coleman Hawkins was going to be, and Louisville, possibly rightly, pulled out. Said thanks, but no thanks. Here's the issue I have. If you go to some of the Louisville media and fans' Twitter areas, Nick Coffey being one of them, it was painted to be Coleman Hawkins is an issue. Coleman Hawkins would mess up the chemistry of the team, which I didn't buy from day one, because I said, okay, They were all gung-ho and willing to have Coleman Hawkins come and visit and hopefully possibly sign with the Cardinals while he was in Louisville. Right? All this was trending in that direction. Pat Kelsey was dropping hints on Twitter. We had those discussions. Joker and the Thief, if you know, you know, was a little bit of a nugget that Louisville fans ran wild with. Okay, they're like, is he just kidding out there? Is he just throwing stuff down? They analyzed and overanalyzed that tweet, as did I. I did the same thing on this show. I'm not trying to cast blame on Louisville fans. I did the same thing. Okay, that's what you do when it's June, right? Early June, late May. You've got to take those nuggets and expand upon them to fill up a three-hour show. But it was painted to be he's not right for the chemistry. And I said, I asked the question. I think I was the only one that asked this question. The only one that asked this question. I'm coming across as a hater. I said, did Pat Kelsey and staff make the overtures for Coleman Hawkins? He reciprocated. And then all of a sudden woke up Thursday morning and said, actually, you know what? No, you're not good for the chemistry of the team. Or they magically found out something from some vetting process that Coleman Hawkins was a headache or an issue. Not something we've heard from any other team, by the way. None of that leaked out from Kansas State or LSU or anybody else that I've seen. Okay, if you see other stuff like that where he's painted as a character problem, please pass along. Let me know so therefore I can read it and say, okay, I was wrong. All right? What happened, in my opinion, again, this is what my gut tells me. He put the $2 million on the table, said this is what I want, and they said no. And then to save face, he's the issue. He's the problem. It wasn't us. We're fine. We have everything we need. We're perfect. We're good. We're great. We're grand. We don't need Coleman Hawkins. And then the very next day on Friday, what happens after that? Pat Kelsey releases the letter. Mwah. Smooch, smooch, smooch to the fan base. You're all the best, the most knowledgeable. I wake up every stinking day and I thank the Lord in heaven that I'm a stinking Cardinal and I'm the head coach of the Cards. To ease the consternation of the Louisville fan base, because there was some of that. There was people like, hey, what the hell happened? We thought we were getting this guy. Why isn't he on campus? Now the picture becomes clearer to me. And here's the problem with always bragging about how much NIL you have. Whatever these prices or these figures come out, you're telling on yourself or you're being told on. This player gets X amount of dollars. Well, thought Louisville had the bags. I had this discussion with Jeff Lightsey multiple times. I'm not saying Louisville doesn't have an NIL. They have NIL. They've built a roster. They've built a very good roster. They built a roster comparable to that of Kentucky. But you paint yourself in the corner and you open yourself up to people like me having to make assumptions about what's going on. Other than he wasn't a good fit, he's not that great of a kid anyway, he'll cause problems in the locker room, that's why we moved on. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Because you don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, never mind. Unless you have another player or a better option that comes forward. And so far, that has not been the case. There's been no other discussions about any other players. There's not a reclass guy out there that I've seen. There's not another big comparable to Coleman Hawkins out there. And again, I said it at the beginning of this rant or this you know, soapbox, whatever you want to call it, with the fact that 12 points and 6 rebounds may not be worth $2 million. But guess what? That's the market. That's the asking price. That's what he got. So now you look at it, and if Coleman Hawkins goes to Kansas State, and he's a beast, and he's beast mode, and he's really good, and Jerome Tang and the Cats, the Wildcats of Kansas State, the Purple Cats, they make an NCAA tournament. They're in the fight in the Big 12 and all these other things that Kansas State was under Jerome Tang year one. There may be second guessing. So now we have multiple tentacles here tied to Pat Kelsey. Again, not all of it of his own doing, but now you have a player that Pat Kelsey wanted, a player that Pat Kelsey courted, go to Jerome Tang, a coach that a lot of Louisville fans said would work out here. You have Chris Beard coming into the Yum Center this season, another coach that a lot of Louisville fans wanted. Again, the Chris Beard stuff is not Pat Kelsey's doing. I'm not blaming him. He didn't make the schedule. He didn't make the schedule for the ACC-SEC Big Challenge. That was the powers that be. But now you have these narratives springing up around Pat Kelsey that he'll be judged fairly or not, just like Mark Pope and the Kentucky Wildcats will be judged against John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's going to be a comparison that we're going to have to talk about and look at all season long. So Mark Pope has his own comparisons that I'll be diving into myself because, again, there are some players on that team, Big Z specifically, that Mark Pope sat down and met with, and Big Z said, no thanks, I'm gone. So Mark Pope's not immune from this either. He has his own comparisons that we'll be looking at. But make no mistake about it. Pat Kelsey loses to Chris Beard. Pat Kelsey loses to Tennessee. Pat Kelsey loses to Kentucky, 0-3, maybe 0-4 if they play Oklahoma in the Battle for Atlantis in the SEC, head-to-head against the SEC. Jerome Tang takes Coleman Hawkins. He becomes a baller. Wish you had him on your team, but for whatever reason, money, it didn't happen. Those are all things that will be popping up as conversations. And don't sit here and act like those won't be conversations on the Diener Show 7 to 10 a.m. with Mark Blankenbaker specifically. Don't act like that won't be a discussion on other radio programs here on this station. It's not just going to be me talking about it. It's going to be multiple other hosts talking about it as well. And you all know that as well as I do. So don't sit there and be like, it's just you, Round Daddy. You're the only one that let me talk about this. You know it's not true. Mark Blankenbaker talked about it the other day. He said, Pat Kelsey better beat Chris Beard. That's from the Louisville man himself, not me. Not me. That's from Mark Blankenbaker, who holds the in my estimation, the mantle as the number one Louisville fan that I know. Okay? So that's what I gleaned from all of this. Might come out that I'm completely wrong, but when you don't have information, you have to make information that you had to come to conclusions based upon the evidence you have in front of you. That's the evidence. That's my take. That's what I found out. That's what I've gleaned. Of course, I'm sure the text line's blowing up. I can't imagine what they're saying, James. I'll read them here in a second. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, no. The text line's crushing you. I've read.
That's fine. They crushed me.
Thank you, text line.
Yeah. I know. James is sitting there. He's biting his tongue. James wants to join along with y'all. That's fine. Y'all crush me.
I don't give takes. I'm good.
Look, it's fair game. That's what the text line's there for, okay? It's there to keep me measured and to try to keep me as balanced as possible. So, all right, let's go ahead. Let me take a breath. Okay, I had my zen in. I'm feeling good. All right, let me dive into this text line now. Let me see. James, I'm going to try. It's Friday. I've got my Coors Lights hat on. I'm feeling good. I'm going to try not to get too worked up. I have a nice, cool pool to go home to this evening. I'm going to try not to get worked up. Here we go. Texter, the smart people walk away instead of throwing away the additional $500K. That could be the case. But why do y'all brag about how much NIL you have? And the text says, just because you don't have the $2 million doesn't mean you had to spend it. Fair take. That could be. Then why Pete the Kid is a bad guy? Why Pete the Kid is a bad guy? And Pat Kelsey didn't do that. I'm not blaming Pat Kelsey or the Louisville basketball team or the Louisville basketball coach. Media did that. Fans did that. Just like they're doing with Isaac Sewell right now. He had Louisville fans in his mentions. I'll pull that up right now. Okay, here we go. So Isaac Sewell, who was a center, and Louisville fans thought they were going to get him, and he's going to come to Louisville. And then there's Spike Sewell. Okay, Spike Sewell. And I got actually texted about Spike today from an unnamed source that's feeding me a little information that told me before it was made public that it wasn't Spike that canceled the visit. It was Louisville. And I can't really get into this is someone that knows the kid and knows the family why it was visited. I'm sure that'll come out too. But, you know, I hate a Louisville fan. And Spike Sewell's mentions, and not just one, multiple. He said, you know, on June 13th, yesterday, he tweets out, unfortunately, I will no longer be taking an official visit to the University of Louisville next week. Somebody at Bird Gang 1984, hope he chooses UK so he can learn how bad he done bleeped up. Come time to play him, he gonna feel the pain. I promised that one. Laughing emoji. Good luck, though. And then Spike tweets back, sir, I'm not the one who canceled the visit. And he wasn't. Brom and Louisville canceled the visit. He didn't pull out because he wants to be a cat. Actually, Kentucky's further down his list. Louisville canceled the visit, not Spike. Period. So be careful with what you believe and what you see. There's always multiple layers and multiple stories here along these lines. And I have it on good authority why they canceled the visit. You could take it as a good thing, you could take it as a bad thing. But Louisville decided you're not coming here. So don't crush the kid. He didn't cancel the visit. Brom canceled the visit. 100%. Texter, speaking of Coors Lights hats, just saw a Zima hat for sale. When was the last time you had a Zima? Oh, high school. Easy high school. I had it was my senior year when I only drank twice. It was at the prom after party that I attended. Of course, back then the girls would buy Zimas and put Jolly Ranchers in them to, I don't know, enhance the flavor or whatever. I think I had like one or two of them. I was more of doing like keg stands and things like that. I'm not big on like the Smirnoff Ices and the Zimas and the Trulies and stuff like that. I'm not a big fan. I'm not crushing it. High Noons, if that's your wheelhouse, God bless you. However you want to imbibe, that's you. You're a bourbon person, a vodka person, whatever. It's just not my cup of tea, but it's been high school. Texter, how can the text line measure you? There's not a scale big enough. There you go. Are you really going to crush Pat Kelsey for not overpaying mediocre Coleman Hawkins? You didn't think he was mediocre, Texter. It's the same Texter that calls me fat. I guarantee while Coleman Hawkins' visit was still on, you weren't thinking he was mediocre. I guarantee you, Texter, if I search back through this text line, which I'm not going to do because I don't have time, okay? Texter, so Brom wants someone else. No, that's not it. It's not that Brom wants someone else. Brom got a little butthurt about a visit he was going to take, and that's as far as I'll go. It's not he wants someone else. He got butthurt. 1,000% got butthurt. I guarantee this texter here that calls me fat and all that stuff. It says Coleman Hawkins is mediocre. If I go dive back further in the text line, Coleman Hawkins coming from Mark Pope's ass. He's gonna bust Brandon Garrison. He's gonna bust Amari Williams. This is what all fans do. Not just you Louisville fans. I've done it before. He's not that good anyway. He's not that good anyway. He's mediocre. You want to pay $2 million for a mediocre player? Bro, you can't pay $2 million for a good player. Get out of here with that, okay? We know what's going on. Don't sit here and act like y'all got all this money and you just don't want to. We just don't want to spend it. We just don't want to spend it. We just want to. We want to give a few thousand here and a few thousand there. We have all this money. We really don't want to spend it though. This is thrift. So Pat Kelsey's thrifty. It's good to know. I'm thrifty too. Lock McClain's thrifty. There's a lot of thrifty people out there. I get it. That's fine. You don't want to overpay. You don't overpay. Say that. Don't paint the kid as he's bad, as he's a problem. And you have the perfect chemistry, even though you hadn't had one practice yet with the entire team. But they had perfect chemistry, and he would have ruined the perfect chemistry. Get the F out of here. Come on now. Come on. Texter, half your evidence is your made-up conclusions. No, most of my evidence is reading the tea leaves and putting things together. That's what smart people do. They're able to make conclusions based upon the evidence that's provided to them. This is the evidence provided. That's what's going on. Texter, it's okay. We didn't want Hawkins anyway with a winky face. There you go. They get the show. Texter, all three guys are all right dudes, good players, but you don't have to pay a third team Big Ten guy $2 million. Well, Jerome Tang did. Jerome Tang did. What if he's a beast for Jerome Tang? Dusty May paid $2 million for Grant Osborne. What if he's good? Now, they all might suck. They all might be bums. But they want to play big boy basketball and get big boy recruits. It's part of the game, bro. That's what it is now. That's what it is. Paying big bucks. So further down the line, as these schools continue to shell out big money for these recruits, some might hit, some might not hit. Is this always going to be the excuse going forward? We don't want to spend that money when we have the war chest? Okay. Texter, your argument is based on circumstance. It wouldn't hold up in court. Agreed. Neither would yours. Neither would yours. How do you know that Pat Kelsey doesn't want to pay that much money? How do you know that they have all this money, they just don't want to spend it? Your evidence is based upon the same evidence as mine. We're in the same boat, brother. Welcome. I promise I won't throw you other. You can row with throw you over the edge. You can row with me anytime. Texter, hi. Hey, Round Daddy. I guess the Boilermaker comes knocking. Texter, Louisville is a national recognized program for NIL on both sides. Really trying with this one, Rick. Okay, so they're nationally known for the NIL, but they don't want to spend NIL. So Washington and Kansas State have more NIL to spend than you do. Is that the case? They're nationally known about it, but they don't want to spend it. text her because I'm Pat Kelsey. Sure you are. Pat Kelsey already has a 502 number. He's been here 5 minutes, already switched his number to 5. Bro, I know people like that. Let me see here. There are people in my phone that have been here for years that don't have a 502 number yet. I mean, that's it. Let me see here. I'm going to say one,
area
but I
codes really don't matter.
I don't want to. They really don't. I don't want to speak out of school here, but I want to know.
People don't want to change their number because everybody has it.
So Lou Rebels does an 812 number.
I know people who are from here that live other places still have 502 numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Texter, love the show. I love you too. Thank you. Texter, y'all know BHH getting that bag. 100% he's getting that bag. You're damn right Kevin Keats came correct. Are you kidding me? Kevin Keats styling and profiling up there, coming fresh off that Final Four. He's coming correct with that. Absolutely. Wait, are you saying U of L didn't sign big time recruits? They signed very comparable recruits to UK. You want to think they're big time? That's fine with you. Do I think that Kentucky has big time recruits? I think they have a few. I think Louisville has a few too. And again, this isn't about is Coleman Hawkins worth it. It's about the narrative that was spun around Coleman Hawkins when the visit was canceled. Period. End of story. That's it. All right. Let's take a break. On the other end, we'll welcome in Max Godby. We'll have Jonathan Lindner in at 3:45. Ben Roberts said something interesting about Mark Pope and how many draft players we'll expect here coming shortly. I do want to talk about this Big 12 name change with Max Godby. I think that's something right up his alley. At 4 o'clock, we'll listen to some Pope sound from Tyler Griever and WDRB. Kentucky is a new assistant and more. John Wong, 4:30. Before we take a break, let me tell you about my good friends over at Tri-State Men's Health. That's right, Tri-State Men's Health. I listened to Mark Blankenbaker do this read earlier today, and he's on the testosterone program, as is Nick Valvano, as is Steve Brummage, as is Mark Lieberman, as am I as well. And he said it, man. 50% of middle-aged men deal with erectile dysfunction. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a referendum on your manhood or your manliness or if you can go down and chop down a tree or mow the lawn or take care of a chicken coop or whatever other manly things that you can name out there. It has nothing to do with that. It's a medical, physical thing. Erectile dysfunction can lead to anxiety, depression, and the worst cases, divorces, okay? But look, again, it's not your fault. It's okay. There's help out there. And Tri-State Men's Health, they're the best help that you can get because they have treatments that work when the pills and the herbals fail. That's right. These treatments can also have you lasting up to an hour or more. That's right, an hour or more. 6 locations, Cincinnati, Dayton, 2 in Columbus, Ohio, Louisville, right off there, Breckenridge Lane, and also the new office in Northern Kentucky. They're expanding, they're growing. Their footprint can be seen everywhere. Schedule a medical consult today with them. It's a $99 consult, and they'll give you, if it's medically advised, a test dose in the office. And if that doesn't work for whatever reason, then that fee is waived. But it will work. It has 90% plus success rates. It'll be fine. It'll be great. You can be having sex the day after your appointment. Call them today, 800-900-9654, or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
If he is important to you, state your business. What the hell is he doing in here? What is he doing in here? State your
We're
damn business.
Some major issues behind the scenes. So
I don't care.
Give me a second.
It's not my damn problem.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show. Inside Churchill Downs, 6 p.m. here on ESPN 680 1057. Right after this show, Tennessee baseball versus Florida State, 7 p.m. here on these same airways. And then tonight, 7:30 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville, the NBA Finals. They could be wrapped up tonight as the Mavs and the Celtics play. And that play-by-play is presented by Bear Nose Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. And upsjobs.com. Tech, does Blank have a 502 number? Yes, he does. He absolutely does have a 50. He's still a Louisville man. He may live in Santa Claus, but his area code says Cardinal on it, as does mine. I have a 502 area code as well. We're talking area codes during the break.
Gotcha.
I forgot how or why we got on that, but we did. Jonathan Littner here in about 5 minutes. How you doing, Max?
How do you claim to be, like, represent all of the city of Louisville and live in Santa Claus, Indiana?
Because Mark Blankenbaker is the rarest of birds, and I don't mean that as a pun. This man wears the sheriff's badge. He is the standard for Louisville fans. I forgot that I was listening to the Diener show this morning, which, by the way, Crumb's Revenge playing footsie with Diener is probably one of my favorite sounds that I've heard in a long time, because Diener was disgusted. But I forgot that Mark used to run a website that catered to both Louisville and Kentucky fans, called called catsandcards.com. And that's
really,
he did. Yes, he did. He did. And I, like, it's no longer there, because immediately I went to see, if it's still there, but it isn't. But yeah, so the way he explained it, and this makes sense, he and another guy ran the Louisville side of it, and he had two Kentucky fans run the Kentucky side of things, and he's like, it just didn't coexist, because when it comes down to it, for the most part, Cards don't want Cats fans in their spaces, and Cats fans don't want Cards fans in their spaces, so it was just a lot of bickering. The other two Kentucky guys, you know, started to have children and lives and things, and they had to bow out. But it stunned me that Mark Blankenbaker catered to both Cats and Cards at one point in his life.
Well, it's just called a really good business decision.
No, it is. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very
good business. 45-50% of the state when you can have all of the state.
Yes. That would be something. I don't know if I could handle that. I used to, way back in the day.
I know you
day,
couldn't handle it.
Way back in the day, Max. But I cut my teeth on the entire blogging stratosphere, the entire blogging thing, with a website that my friends and I built, and it was trash. It looked bad. It was in poor taste. It was just terrible. And it was both Louisville and Kentucky fans. It was mostly Kentucky fans. Louisville fans would, friends of mine, they'd add their 2 cents every once in a while, but it was one of those things where the Louisville fans ended up being like, okay, this is not our space anymore. And they kind of, again, like the Kentucky fans did, they just bowed out. And they're like, you know what? This isn't worth my time, because all this is arguing.
Hilarious.
But how you doing? It's the first time I've seen you here since Monday. You doing good? Any big plans for the weekend? What's going on in the Godby household, the Godby compound?
I mean, nothing really planned. I mean, I'm doing some drywall. I'm cutting the grass.
There we go. More manly work.
Yeah, I reintroduced the baby chick with the rest of the chickens.
Yes, yeah, so
I did that today.
The Immaculate Conception baby chick.
Exactly.
That we discussed.
Well, I mean, it wasn't Acolyte Immaculate Conception. It was, there was an egg that we missed.
Oh, is that what it ended up being? It was an egg you missed.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Because you were like, we didn't know where this
chick
came
from. There was a broody hen right before vacation, and we were like, we do not want to come home to chicks that we can't manage
right
when we're coming back from vacation. So we took all the eggs away, and I guess that hen had another stash. I don't know. But two Sundays ago now, I thought we were going to just have a lazy Sunday. I had no plans. Like, it was the first.
Rare.
It was one of those first Sundays where I was just, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And I got all comfortable on the couch, and then all of a sudden, my phone goes off, and I look at it, and my wife had sent me a picture of this hen with a chick right next to it. So then Fast forward to 10 o'clock that night, I get finished building a little chicken shack, for the, for this little chick.
So there goes your day off.
So I could separate it and the mother from everyone else. And yeah, I was not a happy camper 2 weeks
ago. So it's reintroduced to the rest of the chickens.
Yeah, if that rooster just winds up just killing it today, I'm going to be so mad.
all that work you put in. Yeah, all the damn work you put in. Now, I'm not going to get, here's Jonathan Littner. Let me get Jonathan Littner on. Hello, Jonathan Littner. How are you? Here comes James. Oh, here. Hold on, Jonathan. James is going to pod you up. Okay, now, are you good now, Jonathan? You there?
Yeah, I can hear. I went straight from ringing to you. That was interesting. Yeah. I haven't had that happen before.
How you doing, buddy? You doing good? A big weekend for the soccer clubs in the city. So you getting ready, getting primed for a big weekend here?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a doubleheader tomorrow. So the women's team, Racing Louisville, they host Gotham FC at noon tomorrow at Lynn Family Stadium. We don't play a lot of games this early, so like, we got to do something different. And we decided to have a regular $2 happy hour. It starts at 10:30, but we're throwing $3 mimosas in there as well.
Let's go.
Get the brunch, get things going, and we have the Louisville June Team Festival on site after the game.
So okay, very cool.
Anybody who wants to stick around, and they're expecting a massive crowd for this event. Obviously, it's something that's grown more recently, but I think this is their fifth year, and they were down on the Belvedere before, and kind of came to us and said we need a larger location for this festival, and it's just great that it wound up having the game at noon and can kind of make it a whole day over there.
Yeah, and be able to integrate that in with your festivity as well. Now, Gotham FC is the defending champ. Is that correct?
Yes. They've been winning everything lately, and they've kind of turned into our league super teams. They keep collecting all these national team players, but I think the biggest, most well-known name on their team is Rose Lavelle, who I believe she scored more goals than anybody in the World Cup in 2019 when the United States won.
Wow.
She's from Cincinnati, so we can hear it in the stands whenever she plays here. I think there's a lot of families, a lot of, you know, young soccer players that like to come see Rose Lavelle when she plays here. So it's usually one of our better attended games of the season.
Jonathan Littner joining us, filling us in on Racing Lou and Lou City FC. Before we get to Lou City and their game Saturday night and then the big FIFA announcement that I know you're itching to get to, when is the Olympic break, and then how many players from Racing Lou will be traveling with the Olympic team over to Paris, France to compete in the Summer Olympics coming up, which I keep forgetting the Summer Olympics are around the corner. I love the Olympics. My wife loves the Olympics. It's appointment TV for us. So when is that break, and how many players do you all have joining that Olympic team, or not even Team USA, but the various Olympic teams, as we do have players on Racing Lou that are international?
Yeah, so our league actually will pause after, I think it's the first weekend of July. It's
okay.
July 6th, 7th, we play a game. And they'll pause after that because that's when those call-ups will officially happen. We have a couple of players that are, I would say, fringe names for the U.S. team. Probably won't make it based on how things are going. But then we do have a real standout player named Ari Borges, who is she's a goal scorer, box-to-box midfielder for Brazil. If you know anything about soccer and Brazil, it's huge there. That's the culture. And we also have a player that would project to make the Nigerian team. Olympics are a little different than the World Cup. We had six players go to the World Cup last year.
Right.
Olympics are just the qualifying and things are a little more choosy. In some instances, it's actually harder to make it to the Olympics than it is to the World Cup. I think the best example is England didn't even qualify, just the way that works. And you normally think of England as being like this massive soccer country. So, yeah. So it'll be interesting. The league, the regular season pauses. They do schedule some extra games for us. Notably, we have a team from Mexico called Monterrey, just a massive club. I mean, like a huge following in Mexico that's going to play against Racing on, I believe it's July 20th. So
there we go.
Some interesting things going on during the break as well.
Now, Lou City, they've been on an absolute roll, continue to win and dominate. They play Saturday night at the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So as they wrap up things with racing and then the Juneteenth Festival, they're out there at Lynn Family Stadium. Are you guys going to have anything going on as far as Lou City is concerned? They're a top rival for Lou City FC, and it's been a competitive series. So what's your prognostications? Are you guys going to do anything like a watch party? Anything for that?
We're not doing one specific to that. We've actually started what I think is kind of cool. We call it our pub partner program. So we find local businesses around the city and just say, hey, we'll give you all the swag and you can use our logos and promote this if you will just, you know, show the games. And so we've got, I think, 15 or 20 locations. And like I said, we try to make them all local businesses because we are a local business.
Absolutely.
And support each other that way. So there's a huge list, and including, you know, places like 1020 and all those places around the stadium down in Butchertown. So check out it's loucity.com/pubpartners if you want to find a place that's going to show the game. And then about this one specifically, I would say this is like not the rivalry that's built on like proximity or fan hatred or anything. Mm-hmm. It's the rivalry that's built purely on like what's happened on the field and that the kind of mutual respect that these two teams have for each other. We met them in the Eastern Conference Final three straight seasons from 2020 through 2022. The all-time series is split. They've won six. We've won six. There were two draws in there as well. And now you look at it, we're in first place. They're in fourth place. So
okay.
It's one of those games that every time we play, it's like the game of the week in our league. And that's certainly the case again this Saturday.
And it's a competitive rivalry rather than a like kind of a visceral hatred or disdain for the other fan base or other team. It's competitive. I respect that. I love it. That's fantastic. Jonathan Littner joining us now. This extra news that you have here, Jonathan, you need to know. You need to know this because you know our mutual friend Jason Entz. You know him very well. He runs the gambling ring up in your press box and gets people to bet on certain things and hands out bets to everybody. He was very excited to text me what's already been announced, but I want you to announce it also for our listeners in case they are not on social media or haven't been tapped into this, but our soccer fans, there's big FIFA news in terms of Lynn Family Stadium. So what is that, Jonathan? And please explain it to everybody what's going on here, because this is a big deal.
Yeah, so this week it was announced by FIFA that the city of Louisville and then our club, which is, you know, company name Soccer Holdings, are going to be a team base camp site for the 2026 World Cup.
That's cool.
That you know, we're basically on the list, if you qualify for the World Cup, one of the options where you can headquarter. And so while we may not be hosting games in Louisville, you know, you could have one of the federations that chooses us and says, we want to do our trainings there, we want to pick the Omni Hotel and we want to stay there. And I think there's a lot of fanfare that comes with that, because you're not going to be able to miss the World Cup if you're living in the United States in 2026. It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
For us to kind of get a piece of that is special. Now, there's no guarantee that a team would select us, but because we're on this early list, they call them high grade locations, which mm-hmm. they're basically saying we want a team to go to all these places that we've listed. And I think they listed 24 locations, and this is actually the year the World Cup is going to grow. I think it's going to be 48 teams in the World Cup. So the fact that wow. there's 48 teams, and there's only 24 locations to choose from right now. We've probably got a lot of places around the world in these different federations that they're probably learning about Louisville, Kentucky for the first time this week. And that's going to be cool to see eventually, you know, who chooses us and, you know, you think about all the famous players that are involved in the World Cup, and just, I don't know, it's, you always picture, like, are they going to, like, where are they going to eat? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to be seen? Those types of things. So it'll be an interesting storyline to follow over the next couple of years.
Wow, so the World Cup is expanding their field. I mean, is Greg Sankey running FIFA as well? as all the conferences are expanding and the college football playoff expanded, they're talking about the NCAA tournament expanding. There's more for everyone, Jonathan. Now, my follow-up question to that would be, if we are selected as a site and they do hold their workouts here and everything, will those be open to the public? Will people be able to go out if this does happen? Will people be able to go out and watch these teams work out, maybe see some of these international star players that will be competing in the World Cup?
I've heard they tend to lock the trainings themselves down pretty tightly.
Okay.
You know, just because you think about the – the lineups and the injury knowledge you might get. But I would hope that any team that comes here, you know, wants to do something out in the community, whether, you know, we do an autograph session or something. I mean, we will certainly push for that. But I think we're also timid enough to know, like, hey, let's just not screw this up in the meantime.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody on the hook, and then we can figure out some of the details from there. But I mean, you have to think we're centrally located enough that, you know, say you've got games in Dallas and Atlanta and Philly or whatever in your group, like, well, why not just be right in the middle of that and take the shortest flight? You know, not to mention it's in the summer, and I think our climate will prepare you to play just about anywhere.
Right, right, right. Last one for you, Jonathan Lennon, before we let you go here on this Friday. You said there's 24 options or whatever. How many will FIFA select to be one of these home hubs?
So we're officially, it's a brochure they put out. So
okay.
We're officially on the list, and then it's up to the nations themselves to choose. And I think we'll know more next year, because as teams qualify, they'll eventually have a draw that says, you know, hey, you're in, this is where you'll play. And that's where the selection process gets more serious, because, for instance, if you're the U.S. and you already know, okay, all our games are on the West Coast, certainly it doesn't make sense for them to headquarter here, but there will be somebody who's more centrally located that maybe doesn't know yet they're going to be centrally located, that it would make sense for them to choose Louisville.
Well, that would be very exciting for our area, and go out there noon kickoff tomorrow for Racing Lou as they host Gotham FC, and then the Juneteenth celebration after that should be a busy Saturday. And again, what's those pub partners that you have, what better way than to spend a Saturday night at a pub watching a little soccer and enjoying a cold drink on a hot summer day. And I love 1020, by the way, Jonathan. I had some of their beers over at Five Iron Golf here a couple of weeks ago when the PGA was in town, and I was a big fan. So that's an awesome place, awesome partner, and man, we appreciate it and everything. So hopefully Racing Lou can notch a big win or you know, draw or whatever however the cards may fall, and continue to build upon a playoff resume. So that's exciting, and then that big game for Lou City as well. It's going to be a good weekend for soccer here in the city and elsewhere. So we'll be keeping eyes on that. And we'll, now that we know the FIFA stuff's out there, we'll be following that as well, man. So appreciate the time, Jonathan. Very excited. Hope you have a good weekend. Hope everything goes well at the Juneteenth celebration and the soccer match tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate the time. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week. Yes, sir. Jonathan Lintner there, Racing Lou City FC. Texter, why doesn't God be get to ask the soccer guy questions? That's a good text. You know, it's very well known that you've now become like a Lou City guy. So maybe you ought to pepper some questions in there as well. That's my fault. I blab back.
No, it's all good.
It's all my fault.
I mean, Jonathan Lintner texts you, not me.
That is true. Yes, he does. He does text me with the talking points.
I'm here for the hardcore journalistic interviews.
That's
not
right.
These softball questions.
That's right. You're here to poke the bear. If CL Brown comes in,
Jonathan,
you're going to challenge
Lintner,
him like Zachy C did.
Lintner and Lou City can't handle the questions in the reporting that I'm able to do.
No, they wouldn't be able to. They'd be John Lindner would be scared. He'd hang up the phone, and we get a dial tone the way we did at Noble Funk.
How come soccer doesn't run a counterplay? What do you think of the Acolyte?
$2 beers. We got $2 beers. Stop it, Max. I don't want to get to a Star Wars debate. Now, I could. I didn't put that on my show sheet, but if you have a little time that you want to carve out for that, if that's something you want to get off your chest.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
It's dead to me. I mean, it's
that's kind of what I thought based upon the discussions that we've had via text, that it's a sore subject for you.
It's not hard. Like, that is not a hard thing to do. It's just make Star Wars. Like, it's so simple.
Like you tweeted out the other day, it's like it's the other easy thing to do that's comparable is make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly.
Like, you can't mess that up.
You can't mess it up.
No.
Like, you can't.
It's peanut butter, jelly, and two slices of bread.
It's lightsabers. It's aliens. space battles.
Spaceships.
And put a cool bounty hunter in it. And guess what? It's done.
Everyone will love it.
AI is able to do it.
Yeah, AI can do it. You and I can write a compelling Star Wars script.
Dude, Godzilla -1, $25 million budget. Each episode of The Acolyte has the same budget as Godzilla Minus
One.
It is
eight episodes, correct.
It's $180 million. I'm like, what? What?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing? It looks like the Star Wars on CW. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like what's a CW
it
Marvel?
It looks like
or
Galaxy Battles.
Remember that show? You might not remember this, but it was like tattooed teenage alien fighters or something like that. It was like a knockoff of the Power Rangers. Back there was a couple knockoff of the Power Rangers. One was like, tattooed alien teenage alien fighters. That was one of them. The other one's like, God, I can't remember. There's so many knockoffs. But I mean, as cheap as the Power Rangers looked, these looked even cheaper. So you're telling me that these are that this show is that level cheap,
dude? Have you ever realized? I watched this documentary about Power Rangers. Yeah, don't I get it.
It's a no judgment zone.
Yeah. I mean, I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube one night, and I found this Power Rangers thing. And did you know that show, like the clips from that show, especially the original, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Like the first three seasons or whatever.
Is a show from Japan 10 years earlier. I never knew that.
Yeah, so
it blew my mind.
So the actual scenes were like the Power, not all of them, most of them, the scenes where the Power Rangers are fighting like the monster or the alien or whatever, that's from Japan. And then you had the scenes where the Power Rangers, like they're in high school or whatever.
Yes.
That was filmed in America. So the majority of the fight scenes were, and you could tell the difference in the grade of video they used. The Power Ranger fight scenes were much older, and so we just like, yeah, we'll just take that, and we'll just film some American stuff, and
how
then just re-air it.
Exactly.
Cheap way to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, and then you got a toy company and everything.
About net profit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They printed money.
Exactly.
I remember the Power Rangers were popular when I was, I was at that time, I was in middle school when the Power Rangers really hit, so my younger brother was really into them, but it was past my time.
Right.
I'd watch it just to make fun of it and laugh.
But low key, you're like, this is so cool.
No, yeah, exactly. Little kid's like, I want the Green Ranger's dagger that he uses as a flute to call upon his Megazord. And for someone that didn't watch it, I sure really do know a lot about it.
The Green Ranger, dude, just went hard. I mean, it was.
Oh, he did.
Gosh, he was awesome.
Then he turned into the White Ranger. He was the Green Ranger, and then he like upgraded to like
the White Ranger.
He was like a lion or a tiger.
Then he turned to the Red Ranger.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he did.
I didn't know that. Because there was already a Red Ranger, but he decided to turn into the next Red Ranger.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the one Red Ranger, according to, I don't remember. Like, I didn't remember, but in the documentary, it said that because he was getting too old, they sent him off to a secret mission in another galaxy.
Oh, wow. Then they just
started another Power Rangers, and we never saw him again.
Well, check out for further information, check out the Power Rangers wiki. I'm sure there's a Power Rangers wiki out there. All right, we're going to do some texts, and then we'll take a break. Texter, love hearing Max bleep on the Acolyte. Texter, what's so bad about the Acolyte? We'll move on. Texter, I bet Andy Swinney likes the Acolyte.
It breaks canon.
It breaks. That's your main beef with it. It breaks canon.
It breaks canon.
As a Star Wars purist, that's your beef.
It basically makes Anakin, it makes him obsolete and says, okay, then he wasn't special.
He's not special.
That's the part that just absolutely infuriated me.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi screaming out, but you are the chosen one!
It doesn't matter.
It means nothing. That battle meant nothing.
Yes.
Darth Vader means nothing.
Freaking J.J. Abrams ruined Anakin's sacrifice and his selflessness.
Yeah.
And then the Acolyte now ruins just the beginning of Anakin. It's just like, stop.
Just stop. Just take a break.
Stop.
Just take a break. They've like taken a break from Marvel movies. Just take a break from Star Wars. Just stop.
I just want to burn all into the ground and just reboot it. At this point, stop. One of my buddies pointed out on the back of Revenge of the Sith, the DVD, it says the Star Wars saga comes to a close.
They should just
No, the Star Wars saga is now complete. So for me, that is historical documentation that everything that's Disney is no longer canon.
It's fan fiction.
Exactly.
There you go. It's just fan fiction.
Multi-million-dollar fan fiction.
And I wonder why Swinney's taking strays here. Texter, which Italian will fight for Italy to be based in Louisville? Texter, spending $2 million on a kid could be bad. Anytime a big-time transfer visits each year, they will bring up you paid $2 million to the kid before. Again, that's fine. Texter, why are you still making stuff up? KSR Light. I'm not making stuff up. Okay, that's fine. I'm making it up. I'm lying. All right, let's go ahead and take a break on the other end. Let me see what I have here on my sheet of lies. I do want to talk to you about this Big 12 name change. I think that's something right up your alley. I think that's something you would absolutely love.
Yes.
We have some Pope sound, Mark Pope sound that Zachy C cut. I'm interested in that. And then 4:30, John Wong live from Omaha. That's right. That'll get people excited and get people going as he talks about what the baseball scene is down there in, or not really down there, over there in Omaha. Let's take a break on the other end. We'll have some Pope sound. Hey, if your business is ready to upgrade your security, check out the friends that I have at Sonatrol of Louisville. Not even your business, your home as well. They can cater to both. They can do your home or your business. 35 years, they're locally owned and family operated. The number one rated security company in Kentucky. Over 350 five-star reviews on Google and growing. They're local experts. They'll work with you from installing your system to sending out technicians down the road. If you need a system upgrade or something's not working right, they'll come out. They'll fix it. They're always there. They're one phone call or one email away from that. Check them out online, sonatrolky.com. Give them a call, 502-966-8999 for your home or business's security needs. Their technology is second to none. High-resolution cameras, night vision. They'll actually talk to the 911 responders on their way to your home. Check them out online, sonatrolky.com.